If you can see in your bulletin there, my sermon is called Running with the Giants. Running with the Giants. We read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, I think it was Paul, but whoever wrote Hebrews, encouraged us by saying, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. With the recent ending of the Winter Games, the Winter Olympics happening in Russia, I was kind of inspired to write some lessons, some sermons that we're going to study over the next 4 weeks. And while I thought the title, Skating with the Giants, was probably more appropriate, I guess for the sake of clarity, we're going to go with Running with the Giants, as found in the Summer Olympics. Have you ever watched Olympic running, or maybe the Boston Marathon? Usually, the race starts out with a handful of people at the beginning of the race, and as the runners come to the end of the race, there's usually a whole stadium or a large group of people cheering them on as their race ends. The Christian life is kind of like the marathon running or the Olympic running event. But instead of having a great crowd waiting to cheer us at the end of our race in a stadium or in a big event setting, the book of Hebrews says we have this great cloud of witnesses cheering us on from heaven right now. So I want to take the next couple, maybe four Sundays, and look at some of these witnesses. Look at some of these people who are in heaven cheering us on down here on earth. And so that's why I called it Running with the Giants. The Giants are maybe some of the well-known saints of the Old Covenant. So the first person, as we read in Genesis chapter, the first person we're going to talk about today is Noah. Noah. You know, if Noah could step out of the great cloud of heavenly witnesses this morning that's up in heaven cheering us on, what would he have to say to us this morning? As we read the story of Noah, I believe there are some three or four points that we can really look at and find some encouragement from in the story of Noah. We read through Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, where it says, you know, the Lord saw how wicked everyone had become, and he was kind of upset that he had made human beings, and he said, well, all right, I'm going to flood everyone. But Noah, in verse 8 of chapter 6 of Genesis, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. If you're taking notes or if you want to remember something today, I think this would be the little thing you could go home and think about. I believe that if Noah could step out of the great heavenly cloud of witnesses this morning and tell us something, it would be this. One person can make a difference. One person can make a difference. As I read through the story and the life of Noah, I have found this morning, if you are taking notes, we're going to remember four ways or four examples that Noah left for us that can serve as an encouragement to us as we're looking through, running through the giants, running with the giants. So Noah, number one, you can make a difference for your family. You can make a difference for your family. Living a life in obedience to God always carries with it the potential to positively impact your family and those who are closest to you. Noah was selected by God to build the ark because of his obedience to God. Fortunately, his obedience didn't just benefit him. It's what saved his entire family. Genesis 7:1 says this, then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I found you righteous in this generation. So Noah's obedience, he was just one person, but he was obedient to God to do something that, as we're going to look, was pretty much impossible. But because he was obedient, it benefited, it saved, actually, his entire family. Most of you all know the story of Noah and the ark. But if there's someone here that doesn't, let me give it to you in a recap. The Lord spoke to Noah and told him that a great flood was coming. And it was Noah's job to build an ark, or a large boat. The funny thing about this story is yet it hadn't rained on the earth yet. And so this was a great challenge of faith, really, for Noah. In my mind, I kind of have this image or this little film going on as I read this story. Here's Noah and his sons, and they're working on the ark. And if you've seen videos or films or movies on Noah, I mean, this wasn't a little, 12-foot fishing boat. This was almost 200 feet long, 40 feet high. And it took him about 100 years to build. And so in my head, I can see Noah and his sons, and they're maybe up on ladders, and they're working, and they're building the ark. And maybe someone walks by and says, hey, Noah, what are you doing? He said, I'm building an ark. I'm building a boat. And why are you building an ark? Because the flood is coming. What do you mean? His neighbor might say, what flood? He said, well, God told me that water is going to fall from the sky, and there's going to be a great amount on the earth, great amount of water, and it's going to drown everything. And I can just kind of imagine his neighbor, who has never seen it rain before, saying, what, God told you it's going to rain? And it's going to flood? You know, you're crazy, Noah. And, and kind of just keep going by. But because he was obedient, just one person was obedient, this Noah character was obedient, it was a benefit to his entire family. James? I'm really not sure how long it took Noah. The scriptures doesn't tell us how long it took Noah to build the ark. But think about this. Every time he or his sons put a nail into the boat or they put pitch on the ark, it was this act of obedience to God. You know, sometimes we think that, we're obeying God. It's something really super spiritual and we maybe have to read our Bible, two or three hours a day. I know all of you do that. But here, obedience to God was simply putting a nail into a piece of wood or putting pitch on the ark. It was an act of obedience. I think if Noah was here today, he would tell us that our obedience to the Lord will bring blessing to those around us. Number two this morning, if Noah was here, he would say, you can make a difference for future generations. You can make a difference for future generations. There's a story that goes like this. There was once a young man who was observing a man in his 80s planting an apple orchard. The old man lovingly and painstakingly prepared the soil, planted the tiny saplings, and watered them. After watching for a while, the young man said to the older man, "You don't expect to eat from these apple trees, do you?" The older man, smile on his face, looked at the younger man and said this, "No, I don't, but someone will." You and I can make an impact, a difference for future generations. Genesis 9, I won't have you turn there, but 11 through 15 says this, God speaking to Noah, he said, "I will establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is a sign of the covenant I'm making between me and you and every living creature. A covenant for all generations to come. I have my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures." Your actions today, your actions now, can help those who come behind you. Because of God's covenant with Noah, we can be assured that we are safe from a worldwide destruction via a flood. Earth's inhabitants are still receiving the benefits that come from one man's obedience, one man's actions towards God. You and I can be a benefit to future generations when we serve people, when we present them the good news, when we give to missionaries, when we invest in children. We are opening the door for future generations to be influenced. Think about this. When we, for example, send money to our missionaries or we support someone overseas. We have no idea really who is going to be influenced with the donations that we send. Someone in Cameroon or Azerbaijan or the Holy Land 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 50 years from now, 100 years from now could be transformed with the good news because of money that we donated. If Noah was here today, he would tell us that our obedience to God opens doors for future generations to be positively influenced. Number three, and you're going to all like this one. This is could be my favorite point of the morning. If Noah was here today, if he could step out of the great cloud of heavenly witnesses, if he could come down to the West Gorm Union Church this morning and speak to us, this is probably what I think he would say and maybe spend a little more, the most time on. Number three, you can make a difference no matter your age. You can make a difference no matter your age. Genesis 7 and verse 6, you're going to like this. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. It didn't say 60 or 160. Noah was 600 years old. I'm not sure if he was literally 600 years old or this is some kind of ancient Hebraic understanding of old age. They would say he was very old. But the text says, Genesis 7, verse 6, Noah was 600 when he was in the ark. People have a tendency to restrict themselves in the service of God because they feel they aren't qualified enough. We do this all the time. We say we're not talented enough, not intelligent enough, not experienced enough. Some people even tell God they're too old or not old enough to do God's work. Let me give you some examples that might help you. Genesis 17:7 says that Abraham was 100 years old when his wife gave birth to their son Isaac. I think she was 95. Imagine being 95 and having a kid. Exodus 3, verses 1 to 6, tells us that Moses was 80 years old when God spoke to him in the burning bush. So Abraham was 100, Moses was 80. And in John chapter 6, we read the story about Jesus feeding the thousands of people and the miracle of the fish and bread. And it was all because a little boy was willing to give Jesus his lunch. Here's the good news. It doesn't matter your age. If you're willing to do God's work, willing to work in God's kingdom, he'll work with you. He'll work through you. So from Noah being 600 right down to the little boy in John 6, he was, the way the Greek reads, he was probably under 10. So from 10 to 600, if you fit in that bracket, God can use you. Doesn't matter your age. Number four this morning, you can make a difference for God. If Noah was here today, if Noah could step down from the clouds of heaven and talk to us today, he would probably say, you can make a difference for God. I find sometimes that too often we fail to realize our importance to God. You are important to God, all of you. 2 Chronicles 6:9 says this, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and from throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him." You know, God is looking for people to stand, I like what it says here, to stand in the gap for him, that is to work with him, that is to do his work here on the earth. And like we just learned, you're not disqualified because of your age. That was the case for Noah. God was discouraged. I don't know how God can be discouraged, but God was discouraged. His creation, all the human beings that were created were evil. They were always acting evil, and it discouraged God. And yet Noah was righteous. He found favor. The older translations say he found grace in God's eyes. And it was because of Noah's obedience to God that God saved humanity through his family, through Noah's family. Because of Noah's relationship with God, Noah changed the course of history. I don't know about you. Sometimes, actually, I saw a rainbow 2 days ago. I was pretty excited. I was like, okay, that's a sign of spring, rainbow. And then I remembered as I was reading through Noah's story here, getting ready for the sermon this morning, I thought about that. Like, Noah was obedient. Noah just followed God. Noah was used by God. And it changed the entire course of human history. That's amazing to think about. In closing this morning, if I could maybe give you three little thoughts or three little encouraging little things maybe to write down. Number one, Noah would tell us, don't be afraid to stand out in the crowd. Don't be afraid to stand out in the crowd. Noah was the only person on the earth to be obedient to God in the time that he lived. Talk about standing out in the crowd. The text there in Genesis says that everyone was doing evil except Noah. You know, that's what I call sticking out like a sore thumb. Boing. Noah was he was doing righteous. Noah was obedient to God. Everyone else, evil. So if Noah was here this morning, he would say, don't be afraid to stand out in the crowd. Number two, he'd probably tell us, don't be afraid to do something for the first time. Imagine how strange it was for Noah to build a boat when it had never rained, much less never flooded. But Noah was more concerned with being obedient to God than looking foolish. Don't be afraid to try something for the first time. I can only imagine Bill Cosby, and I don't mean to quote him during service, but Bill Cosby, I remember listening to him talk about this story. In one of his early, one of his early albums, it's a story between God and Noah. And God comes to Noah and says, Noah, I need you to build a boat. And he says, okay, God, I'll build a boat. Just one question. What's a boat? Yeah, that's right. That's right. What's a cubit? But we shouldn't be afraid to do things for the first time. If Noah was asked by God to build a boat, he wasn't a boat builder. In fact, he was a vineyard. He tended vineyards. He was a farmer of sorts. But God told him to build a boat. Do something for the first time. If Noah was here, if Noah could step down from the clouds of heaven and say, West Gorham Union Church members and family, God may call you to do something for the first time. Don't be afraid. God will help you do it. And finally this morning, in our look through our first steps with the running with the giants. Number three, when we see a rainbow, we should remember that one person made a difference. The rainbow is the seal of the covenant that God made with Noah. He said, Noah, when I see this rainbow, I'm going to remember that I made a covenant with you that I'm not going to flood the earth ever again. So when the warmer weather, I think, which is coming someday, if a rainbow happens, you can look up and say, you know what? One person made a difference. In fact, one person made a difference for all of humanity and all of the history of humanity. And the rainbow is a reminder of that. So I hope this morning, as we started our lessons through running with the giants, which I really, really, really wanted to call skating with the giants, but that's just too funny. Remember Noah. Noah, if he could step down and talk to us this morning, he would tell us that one person can make a difference. He would tell us that it doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter your limitations or your abilities. God will work through you and work with you. He'll tell you, don't be afraid to do something for the first time because God is with you. And remember, you can make a difference for God. Amen.